sermon, the Gospel of Luke, I'll be reading verses 7 through 14 out of chapter 14. So Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 7. He told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they would choose the best places for themselves. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't recline at the best place, because a more distinguished person than you may have been invited by your host. The one who invited both of you may come and say to you, give your place to this man. And then, in humiliation, you will proceed to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and recline in the lowest place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he will say to you, friend, move up higher. You will then be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. He also said this, said to the one who invited him, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back, and you will be paid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot pay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of Christ. Wednesday night, we were looking at the first six verses of chapter 14. And remember, when we're studying Scripture, we need to study it all in context. Because if you take a verse out of context, you get a strange meaning. There's a passage that says about the Lord's return. He was on the house pot, not come down. Well, if you just took out top not come down, you say, okay, don't worry, care in a bun. Let that top not come down. But you got to see it all in context. Because a lot of times, people will take Scripture out of context. Do not judge, lest you be judged. You see that? But we don't see the verses that come after it many times, where it says, first, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly what your brother thinks. Out of his eye. It means examine ourselves first. Not, don't tell anybody what the Bible says about issues. Just be sure you're right with God first. So, as we're looking at the previous verses, we got to remember what Jesus has been talking about. He's been talking about those who will not enter the kingdom of God. And there are many people on judgment day that will come to God and argue with God. Didn't we cast out demons in your name and perform miracles in your name? Jesus would say, depart from me, I never knew you. Not that they lost their salvation. They were never saved in the first place. They went through a lot of motions. They were in church. They hide. They carry this huge Bible, sort of, haven't seen how big the released gospel was. But they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is trying to explain to the people that it's not just outward emotions, but an inward relationship with God that matters. And then Jesus is warned by the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are generally those that have been against Jesus because they were the position of authority. But now everybody's looking to Jesus as the authority, and they're getting upset. And so they warn Jesus, you need to run away because Herod is out to get you. Not that they were concerned about Herod getting Jesus. They just wanted Jesus to stop having the influence he was having. And so Jesus saw through what they were doing and knew that these Pharisees were in league with Herod. He said, go back and tell that old fox, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I'm going to be healing, casting out demons, performing miracles, and then I'll be completed of my work. Not that everything is finished, but he has gone to every place that he intended to preach the gospel to, and he's heading to Jerusalem. But he knew the Pharisees were in league with Herod, so he sent them back. Go tell Herod, your plan is not going to work. And then, in verse 34 of chapter 13, Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stone those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather you trembled together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you are not willing. Jesus saying, I came to Israel wanting you to acknowledge me as Messiah, to see forgiveness God's way, but you were unwilling to come to me. You were unwilling to follow God's plan. You wanted to do your own thing. And then it says, verse 35, see, your house is abandoned to you. I tell you, you will not see me again until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Israel was abandoned as the primary messenger of God. God had called them to be a kingdom of priests. Their mission that God had called them to do was to proclaim the truth of God to the entire world. But they got so excited about being chosen that that's all they focused on. We've been chosen. It's like after draft day of any sport, person. Oh, I was chosen first round for whatever team. And they never show up to practice. They never show up to play a game. But they're chosen. I'm one of the chosen. That's how Israel became. I'm a special person because I'm part of God's children. I'm not chosen for a purpose to proclaim the truth of God to the entire world. And they have rejected. And now God says, the house is left to ruin. AD 70. The Romans came in and flattened Jerusalem. The Temple Mount. Remember Jesus talking about the Temple Mount, one stone will be left on another. The historian at the time said it was as if the soldiers were driven. If they saw two stones stacked on top of the other, they had to push one over. And if you've ever seen the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, now, where, and you can do it anytime, there's a 24-hour day can right on the Wailing Wall, and you can see the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. You've probably seen it, there's where this wall, the people are up, and they're praying, and they stick the little sheets of paper with prayers on it, and cracks the wall. Well, that's not the wall of the temple. That's the retaining wall that held up the side of the hill, and the temple was up above it. Well, where those people are standing, that is about 30 to 40 feet above where ground level was at the time of Jesus. But they pushed all the stones over and filled in that valley down below. Jerusalem ceased to be a city until Israel came back. Israel was not a nation anymore from 70 AD until 1948. God kept his promise to Israel, but there was a time when Israel was abandoned. And Israel as a whole still doesn't recognize Jesus as their Messiah. But there's coming a day when they will. If you read the book of Revelation, there's 144,000 Jewish evangelists who are proclaiming the name of God throughout the world during the tribulation Jesus is now saying, Israel, you've had your chance. The chances are over. Your kingdom's going to, your kingdom position, your kingdom message, your kingdom mission, your kingdom is going to help. Jesus then says, or he's on another Sabbath when you start chapter 14. He's been invited to eat in the house of a leading Pharisee, one of the religious leaders of the time. And there's a man there that's swollen up. We've seen people like that. Generally, people say, well, he needs to get some laces. Well, this person was swollen up, containing fluid. He didn't know exactly what the disease was, but their body was swollen. And Jesus says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because it's dinner that he was at on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders and the expert of the law remain silent. Because they know this had set up a situation to try to trap Jesus into doing a miracle on the Sabbath day. Because just previously in chapter 12, he had healed on the Sabbath, and they talked about how he had healed on the wrong day. If you're sick, come any of the other days except the Sabbath day. And Jesus, when the people at this banquet refused to answer them, heals the man and sends him away. And then he turns to the religious leaders and says, which of you, if your son or even your ox falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will not rescue it? Can you imagine a situation where your son fell in a well? You're going to be able to pay a very religious decision. Sorry, son. Tread water tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow to rescue you. No, you can't rescue your son or even your animal. And Jesus says in verse 6, chapter 14, they could find no answer to these things. He had silenced his people. And this is the attitude where Jesus is facing in the situation. And then he tells the people a parable. Now, a parable is a story with a deeper meaning. We have seen a lot of Jesus' parables, and many times the explanations given to us. But it tells us right here, this is a parable, not just a retelling of events. So there's going to be a deeper meaning to what he's saying. He said he noticed the people were choosing the best seats to recline. Now, let me remind you of how they did a dinner then. They would have a low table, just a little bit off the ground like that. And then they'd lay with their heads toward the table and their arms on the pillows and their feet way away from the table. Which can be pretty good if you're walking everywhere and you don't have to worry about eating and exposing my feet. But they're on the far end. But people would choose the best seats. The best seats were the ones that were closest to the host. Now, Baptists apparently have this down pretty good. They don't choose the best seats. They always choose the back seats. Like this ad, somebody was advertising pews for sale, never been used, were on the front row of Baptist Church. Now, of course, in Baptist, you might think that the back pew is the best pew. Well, we have the seats at the banquet, and Jesus would know that people were choosing for themselves to be in the best position where they could be seen next to the host. Jesus knows what's going on. And Jesus told them a parable. And he said, when you're invited to a banquet, don't recline in the best place, because a more distinguished person than you may have been invited by your host. The one who invited both of you may come and say to you, give your place to this man, and then in humiliation, you will receive, take the lowest place. Jesus is saying in the first part, don't think of yourself more important than you really are. That is echoed in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And beginning in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, a lot of people take the first two verses, or first two words of that verse, and that's how they apply the religious law. Do nothing. It doesn't have a period after nothing. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. We need to consider others as more important than ourselves. This is a good illustration of this when we're driving to the interstate. How often are you making room for those merging on? How often are those merging on wanting to consider people that are driving along and instead want to zig and zag you in a small embrace, trying to get in and out of traffic? Or when someone is wanting to pull out some stoplights and the 175 and 36. There's always somebody pulling out of McDonald's or whatever, but restaurants like that. And have you noticed that people close by to walk off that? They pull forward so they can't get out of the driveway. Traffic's not moving, but I don't want them to get ahead of me. Because they got something to eat, I didn't. Now, maybe if somebody had an extra bag and held that, you let me in, I'll give you this extra order of fries and something like that. Maybe you might be considering something like that. But we need to consider others more importantly. Are we thinking of the needs of others? Are we thinking of ourselves more importantly? Now, sometimes, when I was growing up, I went to First Baptist Church in Niceville, Florida. Just around the corner was the First Methodist Church, Niceville, Florida. And there would be a concern which preacher would preach longer. So we would miss getting the head of line at Pat's Home Style Restaurant. Pat's Home Style, I still miss it. I haven't had chicken as good as Pat's Home Style. It's not there anymore, it's not existed. But everyone wanted to get in line for the first day. And I remember every now and then my mom would say, well, Methodists can get there before we do. And I'm sure in the Methodist church, those Baptists are going to get there before we do. Each preacher preaches. Each preacher. So, that had room for everybody. You might have to wait a little bit for your family. But there's plenty of room in the restaurant. If you think about who or yourself. Jesus wants us to think of others more important than ourselves. And he says, God's going to work out everything. He knows. Look at verse 5, 2 Philippians chapter 2. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as suffering to be exploited, instead he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Jesus wasn't sitting in heaven one day and said, I think I'll go spend 33 years on one of the planets I created, and then have him nail me to a cross after beating me so my skin looked like amber for me. No. That's what I'm about to say. He humbled himself and obedient to death on the cross so that we could live in his house forever. And what happened after that is in the next verse 9. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The glory of God. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless and crooked and perverse generation, among which you shine like stars in the world, but you turn to the word of God. We have a mission. Jesus gave us the example by thinking of others more important than ourselves, than himself, dying for us. We are to shine like stars in the universe. Have you thought about us? You look at all the stars in the sky and why they're there. Look at them. Wow. You get a telescope, you see even more. Wow. You can listen to a radio telescope and the stars make sounds. Especially with pulsars. There's a video guy that put the sounds together and have the music of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. We haven't been to any one place on our planet except the moon. Now, I understand Elon Musk is taking reservations to go to Mars. It's supposed to be a one-way trip. So be sure you want to go there. There's not a flight back plan. But there are people that want to go to Mars. But what happens when you get to Mars? You see this whole planet comes together. There's a mountain higher than any mountain on earth. There's a valley deeper than any valley. I'll dry it out. God, little bit of this. God, just a majesty of God. He created everything. I was reading something the other day talking about thinking about the majesty of God. If you've ever made anything, you take a little measure you've got. Imagine scooping all the sand from all the beaches and putting them in a little bank of that. That's what God's name. All the water on the earth, putting it all in God's name. All the stars in the universe within the span of God's name. God is a good artist, and yet he can't find himself so that we can scream. It's not about what we do. It's about what God has done. Back to the parable that Jesus gave. thing. Don't exalt yourself. Think of other people. Take the lowly seat and let God exalt you. And then he went on to talk to the one that had hosted the banquet. Said, when you have a dinner, don't invite people that are just going to invite you back. You know, so-and-so invited us to dinner last week, so now we've got to invite them next month, so everything's even. And God is saying, invite the people that can't perform. Give them a good. Think about their needs. All the lame, the maimed, the blind. They wanted to go to dinner too. They needed to eat. Think about their needs. And then the book says, verse 4, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Remember that Jesus said, store up yourselves treasure in heaven. When you put other people around yourself, that's treasure. And not doing it because, well, scripture, Pastor Greg today said, I got to let people in front of me in traffic, so I'll do it just because I have to. Think about people's needs of your life. Be concerned about what they need. God was concerned about our need. We could not earn our salvation on our own. The only way we can get to heaven is to have our sins forgiven by a perfect sacrifice that we made to pay our sins. Then, through the power of sin, we burn the sword. It's no better place. Are you ready? This is your turn. If you look at the news, you'll see the end is near. Christ is returning soon. Are you ready for this report? Sing a little. Dear God, I thank you for this time. We could see your challenge to us. Put other people as more important than ourselves. Knowing that it is you that is the most important. You are the one that judges us. You are the one that determines if we will be exalted or not. Let us not exalt ourselves, taking over your position. But let you be with me. Show us where we belong.